two people right now that would definitely agree with that song. That would be the beggar and the rich man. Would both agree with that. That we're on this earth, that we see in Luke 16 there, that it is all about Christ. That's what it's all about. Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. Hebrews chapter 3. Probably after this Sunday and next Sunday, I'll preach on probably New Year's, of course, this morning and next Sunday morning, then probably begin a series going through the book of Matthew at that time, looking at the life of Christ. But this morning I'm going to use Hebrews, just some principles from here. This is really isn't even going to be textual, just some, I'm going to show a principle that's laid out here and help us to apply that for this new year in 2016. But Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read all the way into chapter 4. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest there be any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And boy, that is so true. Let me just comment on that quickly right here. If you'll hear His voice, don't harden your heart. You know, determine you're going to allow the Lord to speak to your heart, even if it's rubbing you the wrong way. All right, if you're seeing that in Scripture, don't determine to harden your heart. Our problem is many times when we hear things, we have our own presuppositions that we come into this thing with, and we sort of put the barriers up right away. But listen, we need to if this is the Word of God, if this is something from the Lord, as he's saying here over and over, don't harden your heart. Let's continue verse 16. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." That not only applies to the gospel message, of course, but to the Word of God. When you are hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, it has to be mixed with faith. Verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place, and of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief." Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus have given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? For there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I ask your blessing now upon this time. Please, Lord, I pray that you would work, that your word would speak to our hearts and challenge us today, draw us closer to you, Lord. Lord, as we come up on this new year, please work on each one of our hearts. Lord, on things that we need to work on. Maybe some things that we need to remove. Maybe some things we need to put into our life. Maybe some different priorities that need to be set. But Lord, let us determine as we see here that we will not harden our heart to your voice. Lord, please bless and work. Father, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm going to use this more of a springboard. We're not going to go through this verse by verse, but what I want to develop is a principle that we see here and try and use that for help in the new year. Now understand this, as he was saying over and over and over, if the Word of God is going to benefit you, you cannot harden your heart. That is a common problem that we have. The fact is, tonight I'm going to be dealing with a subject that a lot of people are going to harden their heart right away and just shut this thing off. But you have to determine, listen, is this the truth of the Word of God? Is life all about Him or not? Even now, as the preaching comes from time after time that we have the blessed and the opportunity to hear the preaching of the Word of God, it is not going to benefit you if you choose to harden your heart. Listen, I'm sure many of us have different experiences in our own life. Maybe as we're getting ready to come to church, events will come up all of a sudden. They almost cause you to harden your heart before you ever get here. The devil knows what he's doing. He knows the power that is in the Word of God. He knows the power of a changed life in this dark world. If we're going to have a great 2016, we cannot harden our hearts to the Word of God. And in our text, there's principles here that were brought out. All right? He brings up the illustration of Israel when they came out of Egypt, how they were, of course, supposed to be not even a year in the wilderness there and heading into the promised land, this land of Canaan, but of course, because of unbelief, an entire generation died out. And he wants us to learn from that. He wants us to learn from that past. He also deals with the hope that we have coming. There is a rest to us. One day we will get to our rest. But we're not there now. We're to be laboring right now while we have life on this earth. And so as we're pressing forward into 2016, listen, I'm excited to see what the Lord has for us. I am. I mean, the rapture hasn't happened. You know, one thing, as the world is getting darker, it just enables us to shine brighter. There are no doubt people all over Anchorage right now, from those who are very successful to those who have nothing, wondering what is this all about and what is going on. There's a sense of despair. Things they used to be able to put security in are failing right before their eyes. The door is opening for us. You know, the field is white unto harvest. It's ready. And a new year is a good time for all of us to begin to reflect. To reflect on, you know, what are things maybe I need to change? What are things maybe I need to put into my life? Or what do I want to accomplish in this next year? These are all things that this week we should be meditating upon. And I just don't mean in the business sense. I mean much, much more so with the spiritual side of the house. With your walk with God. Where would the Lord have you to be? A lot of times we like to commit this time to New Year's resolutions, what we want to do. I'm going to give you just some here of resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. Remember, I mean, he is his most famous sermon, of course, "The Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And he is known, actually, for these resolutions that he came up with, and I'm just going to give a couple of them here. Well, there's some great resolutions, some things to be resolved about in your own life, that this is what I am going to do. This is what I'm going to change. Listen to some of these things. One, that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to the glory of God. Two, never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Three, resolve to live with all my might, while I do live. Four, never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Never to do anything out of revenge. Never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to to his dishonor, more or less, upon no account except for some real good. Resolve to study the Scriptures so steadily, consistently, and frequently that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Resolve to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better. Never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Resolve after afflictions to inquire what I am the better for them, what good have I got by them, and what might I have received by them. Also to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. You get that one? Let there be something of benevolence in all that I speak. And there was others that isn't quite all of them there, but some good resolutions to think about. But as we move forward, the reality is, all of us can speak from experience, we start off with good intentions. We're not being hypocrites when we say, listen, I want to put this into my life, this is what I want to do. We're not approaching this from a hypocritical standpoint. They're genuine, it's real, it's things we want to change, it's things we want to put into our life. It's where we want to be in our life a year from now. But so often, the power to be able to enable those things, we never see to grasp. Something always tends to hinder us. And what I want you to see from here in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 is a principle, though, that is given that I think will help us as we go forward here in 2016. One, as we see in Scripture, the Lord wanted them to learn from the past. He not only wanted them to learn from the past, but He wanted them to hope for the future. And He also wanted them to live in the present. So that's what we're going to look at right there. We're going to look at those principles, and I'm going to try and develop this and show you how if these things are mixed up, because too often we live in the past, we don't learn from the past. You will never go forward in 2016 with your life while you're living in the past. So anyhow, let's continue with now. Number one here, how we need to learn from our past. Of course, most of us here, if not all of us, we either have a past that we have to live up to or a past to live down. And that can be very crippling and hinder us in many ways in our walk with our life as we are trying to do right, as we are trying to serve God, if we're too busy dwelling on our past and living in that past. If your past is filled with failure, simply, please do not believe that all you do will is fail. You see, there's two things that can hinder us from moving forward when it comes to our past, whether you have failed or you have success. Both of those can hinder you from going forward where you should. Many times in our past is filled with victories, we allow ourselves to settle in that. I think the greatest example in Scripture in this would be the battle of when they went into the Promised Land finally under Joshua. And they were told to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Or even the example of, and I'll get back to that a little bit later, when they had to go and they defeated Jericho and they had that great victory there, but of course they didn't, they had the sin that was in the camp that they did not deal with, and then they went to try and take on Ai, and they trusted in past success. Failed. Or you do have their example when as they were going through and they were supposed to get everybody out of the land, but you know what? They got complacent. They saw the victories they had and they said, you know what? We're doing all right. And you see them after dividing up the land. You'll even see it in the book of Joshua when they're getting ready to divide the land up and send them back home, and Joshua's pleading with them, don't stop. Continue to drive them out. They didn't do it. They got too comfortable in their previous success. But we have to learn from our past. We have to learn from our past victories, not live in them. It's not a matter of sitting back and saying, look at all that God has done. No, you still have life now. You still have breath now. It's moving forward with your life. We're not to sit back and bask in our previous successes. We are to be diligent until Jesus comes back. And then, of course, what really hinders a lot of us is past failures, when we have failed in the past. We see it throughout. We can even see it in Scripture. Now, I think of Peter. Peter was a man here who Christ told him, you know, you are going to deny me. You know, this night you're going to deny me three times, Peter. It's going to happen. And, oh, Lord, I'm ready to die for you. But, of course, he wasn't. He had failed miserably that night. But he determined not to live in that. When he met the resurrected Savior, no doubt the Lord went right after Peter to show him and let him know, Peter, listen, I'm still here. There's still grace. Lamentations 3, you know, 22, it's still true. And the Lord used him greatly. Many people allow past failures to prevent them from moving forward. Again, Peter could have did that. The Apostle Paul could have done that in Scripture. We have so many examples throughout history of those who, through their perseverance, says, listen, I am not going to let my failures hinder me from going forward. The Macy's store, you know that thing failed 7 times before it took on? Failed 7 times before it took on. When I grew up, of course, in Cleveland, and we loved baseball. And one fellow that's very popular, of course, is Babe Ruth. He had, I don't know, I think 714 home runs. You know, he almost struck out double that. Over 1,300 times he struck out. We're to learn from our past but not live in the past. Many times our success, as we're walking humbly with God and trying to trust in His Spirit and walk in His Spirit, many times our success is determined by our ability to recover from our failures. And not just live in them and think that's it, it's done with. We're to learn from it. Many times what happens is as we begin to fail, it can produce fear. We had a great Sunday school lesson on that this morning. Fear can be paralyzing in your life. A lot of times when you fail over and over and that fear comes in and it'll just paralyze you and you say, I'm not going forward. And your life is passing you by day after day after day. You're not redeeming the time that the Lord has given you. You got to a place where you failed to produce the fear and you have just frozen. You don't want to get to the place where you look back and see all that time that is gone and done nothing with it. Listen, we have a new year. A new year is about a new beginning. I mean, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You cannot allow that failure, even if producing that fear that can be paralyzing, it's time to bring that before the Lord. Say, Lord, listen, I need you. I want to walk with you. You know, I had that sermon. I have preached it before, dealing with when Peter, you know, he's a fellow that I greatly admire. You know, I think, remember, he got out of that boat and walked on water. He got out of the boat and walked on water. Nobody else did. Nobody else did. And I guarantee you, when he was getting ready to get out of that boat, all the others start talking about him. What's Peter think he's doing? Come on. Really? Show off. But he walked on water. Of course, when he took his eyes off the Lord, he sank. And of course, all those others are probably saying, I knew it. I knew he'd fail. Of course, Peter can go right back to him and said, how many times have you walked on water? See, I don't want to live my life in the boat. I want to be able to get out of the boat if the Lord's calling and beckoning to get out of the boat. We need to learn from our past, not to live in our past. We need to see how Israel and the different examples that we do have there, what produced the failure in their life, and you look at what produced failure in your own life and say, all right, Lord, give me wisdom to do better. Where did I go wrong? Not only are we to learn from our past, but we're to long for the future. You know, the reality is we have an amazing future ahead of us. The hope that we have in Christ is incredible. You know, the rapture could happen today. It could happen here any minute right now, but that is my home. Right now, I'm just an ambassador here. My true citizenship is in heaven right now. I mean, when I think of all that awaits me, when I read the words of the Apostle Paul, how words cannot describe what he had seen, of the life that awaits us, we have a great hope. I mean, one day this will all be over with, and very, very shortly. We'll be in eternity. I am looking forward to New Jerusalem. You know, that is a city. We're not going to be playing harps on a cloud. It's a city. I'll have dinner with Pastor Roach in New Jerusalem. A perfect city. Perfect. No mar of sin anywhere. It's not like you've got to stay out of the east side of town. That's where the Pinnocks live. I thought I'd get a lot more amens out of that one. You know, we have a hope of heaven that Jesus will soon return. I have a new body. One day this body that is breaking down daily right now, that's all going to be over with. It'll be perfect. This is the reality. It isn't some Sunday school fable. We have the hope that one day sin will be no more. Death will be vanquished. 1 Corinthians 15. It'll be over with. Sin will be conquered. It'll be done with. That day is coming. This is why, as we live in this day and we see all that's going on and the different problems arise, without a doubt, others should see a difference in our life. There's no reason for any of us here to go around groaning and complaining when we know what awaits us. When we have the hope of the future, you know, think about it. Right now, there's some who have traveled here for family. I think Calvin is here. I know Jesse is back. Think of the excitement you had knowing you're coming home. You know what was coming. It made work easier. You know what was coming. When you get back, it's going to be a whole lot harder. You're like, oh, man, I can't believe I'm back here. But we have the hope right now of what is coming. You know, when you have that anxious, when you're getting ready to do something like that, coming home for Christmas or an event, you're getting ready to go on a holiday, a vacation, and even if problems come up at work, you can keep it all in perspective. You're like, I am out of here. When I was in Kunsan, we had the remote tour. Absolutely probably considered one of the worst assignments you can get in the United States Air Force is Kunsan Air Base. And you count down those days. You can't wait till your double-digit midget when you only have 99 days left. And then they call you get short-itis when you're almost out of there. In other words, what affected you at day 30 when you just arrived there, you're like, no, I can't stand this. Actually, I don't want to wear the gas mask. I don't want to go through this. But when you're at, you know, day 330, you don't care. I'm out of here in 30 days. We're out of here. Let's stop acting like we're at day 2 and realize we're at the end of this thing right now. People should see a difference. They should see a hope within us. So we have a future that we are to hope for, all right? But we don't live in the future either. We hope in the future. It's not about what you will do one day. Too often we can sit back and basically do nothing for the Lord and nothing with our life, just waiting for some imaginary day to come up. We are to live in the present. You know the busiest day of the year? It's not the day after Thanksgiving. It's Sunday. Someday I'm going to get that done. Hands down, that's the busiest day of the year. Because too often, again, we can allow our past to make us bitter and angry. We can live in the past and we never move forward and we get stuck. Or because of failure, fear paralyzes us and life just passes us by. We get in this a wasted rut of just going through vain motions and an empty life and life is just passing you by. But at the same time, you can simply live in the future as well. Not doing anything for the Lord right now. Everything is someday, someday. What's wrong with right now? You are not promised tomorrow. Your life is as a vapor. We are to live in the present. Don't say, no, I'll wait until God calls me to preach or calls me to be a missionary, then I'm going to serve Him. What's wrong with being a missionary right now? Keep this thing in perspective. I remember when I was in P&G, when I first arrived there in that first year, really going in from the 6 month to the 12 month, I realized very quickly that churches just didn't pop up. You know, I had to live in the present. I had to put some work into it. It wasn't like, okay, the Lord, you called me here, all right, this is just going to happen now. Hold a meeting, and at first, because the white guy was there, a bunch of people would come. But they'd only come a couple of times. And I realized, wait a second, I have to put some effort into this. I have to labor. Now I'm in the middle of the will of God. Now I'm in the middle of the call of God. And I realize, listen, I have to put some legwork to this. Yes, it's where God called me. Yes, it's His work. But I am the vessel that He's chosen to use. There has to be some actions behind it when you live in the present. There has to be some actions that are there, that you're laboring now, as it said in Hebrews chapter 4. God absolutely expects us to be working right now, right where He has us. Understand this. Right now, today's the only day that you have to serve God. That's it. You're not promised tomorrow. It's good to see Brother Roy Butler, by the way, sitting back there right now. Amen. This is it. This is what we have right now. You might have great plans for God in the future, but what have you done today? And I think you should have plans for your future. I know I do, always have. But what have you done today? Don't live in that. That day will never come. To be successful, though, in living right now, you have to have priorities straight. Our priorities are given to us in a very simple verse, and that's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the provisions that we need, the care that we have. What we do is we put the Lord first. You have to have priorities in your life in 2016 if this is going to work right. I know I've read this. I'm trying to think if I've seen one man do this illustration before. But I remember the first time I read it, it was from the context of a business teacher, and he actually did this for his business class, a college class, and he brought out it was really big, about the size of a gallon, I guess you could put in there, a mason jar, big opening, and he brought out 10 rocks about the size of a tennis ball, and he packed those things in there, in that jar. The jar was packed with all of them, he got them all in there, and he asked the class, he said, is the jar full? And they said, yes. And then he pulled out a bag of gravel and poured it in there. He asked the class again, is the jar full? Now they were catching on. They said, no. And they were right. He said, good. He pulled out a bag of sand and he poured it in the jar. All right. And they asked again, is the jar full? And they called on. They said, no. Next, he got out water and he put as much water as he could until it was filled to the brim. And then he asked the class, he had said, what does this teach us? And one of the students had yelled, it teaches it doesn't matter how full your schedule is, you can always fit something else in there. And he said, no, that's not what it teaches us. He said, it teaches us that unless you put the rocks in first, you'll never get them in. So you have to figure out what the rocks are in your life and put those as a priority. Those go first. Too often you're going to get out of whack with the changes you want because the priorities aren't right. You got the sand and the gravel and the water, but the big things aren't there. And those big things, understand this, that starts with the Word of God and making that a priority in the next year in your life. Don't waste your time doing it. Don't waste your time when you're reading and you're studying it. I mean, take it serious when you have your devotion time and stay faithful to it. That's one of those rocks that you're putting in there. Your prayer life, that's another rock that you're putting in there. These are the priorities that you're setting so that you can be in a place where God can give you the wisdom that you need and the direction that you need. But when you begin to set God aside, you're moving the rock aside and you're going to be making decisions on a daily basis without the wisdom that you need from on high, from the one who knows the beginning from the end. Decide one of those rocks isn't just Bible and prayer. It's the house of God. The church has been given for the perfecting of the saints. to understand that this is what we need. This isn't a game. This isn't a social club. It's about growing closer to our Lord. It's about growing in grace. And this is the institution that He has given to accomplish that. That is a rock that you need. If it is nothing in your life, listen, the Lord will reflect the same in your life. He won't be much either. It's a rock. Serving is a rock as well. Lord, what can I do? Doesn't matter how little or how big. That doesn't matter to the Lord. Find something you can do. Seek wisdom from Him and do it. Get busy for God now. We are to live in the present. We learn from our past. We hope for our future and we live in the present. Determined to live every day this new year for the Lord with passion. Say, Lord, I'm going to set this new year out right. Listen, if you want direction for your business, if you want help at work, if you're having the troubles in the relationships, listen, the key is the Lord. As the song that was sung, He's the key to all of this. So the rocks are there, are dealing with the relationship with Him and then trusting Him to give you the wisdom that you need. And so, but when you do that, listen, you go after Him with a passion. With passion. I mean, He's what it's all about. I mean, we are alive at one of the greatest times in history, right now. It's an amazing day that we live in right now. And listen, we have truth. We know what it's about. We're not running around trying to blow ourselves up to trying to appease some fake deity. We understand what life is about. We are the ones here that when circumstances are crumbling around us, we have a hope in our future. A rest is coming. Even in our past when we failed over and over, God has His grace and His strength. His mercies are renewed day by day. See, well, I just don't know the Lord can use me this year. You know, when they launched, what was the name of that thing? 1973, NASA had launched, it was something 10. It was a satellite. They sent it to Jupiter. Hopefully the name will come to me in the middle of this thing so you can look it up. It was something 10. Launched on the 72, 73. And it was the most daring mission they had had, NASA had had up to that point in time. It was really impressive. And this thing was to get to Jupiter. They never said anything, of course, past that asteroid belt there between Mars and Jupiter. And so that was what they wanted this thing to do. Guy came up with the idea, engineered it, and they launched that thing. 72 or 73 it launched. Made it all the way through that asteroid belt. It got to Jupiter. The pictures it took of Jupiter are still some of the most amazing ones we have today of that planet. They're almost haunting when you look at it as it was going by Jupiter. And it wasn't very big what they launched. It really wasn't. And that thing got around Jupiter's gravity and something took place they didn't expect. Jupiter picked up, it caused that thing to pick up speed. I mean, that thing ended up going by Uranus, Neptune. The last contact with it was in 2003. Now, what's amazing about that thing is this. It's powered by an 8-watt device. That is equivalent to your nightlight in your bedroom. Pioneer, thank you, that's it. Pioneer 10. Thank you, brother. 8-watt device. You see, you might just be an 8-watt device, but in the hand of the Lord, He can use you in a great way. But that's not going to take place if you're not living in the present, learning from the past, and hoping for the future. Don't mix those up. And you'll be amazed at how the Lord could use you in 2016. With every head bowed and every eye closed.